How are you today, Mayor?
I'm well. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Beautiful morning. Yeah. Sun is shining. Well, it is now. As I said before we get on the line, it was pouring about a half an hour, maybe 45 minutes ago.
That's better wet than white.
Absolutely. We've already seen that.
Too early for that.
Too soon, yes. Imagine shoveling in October.
Don't have to imagine it. It happened.
Yeah, true.
And if it was going to happen, this would be the year for sure that it would happen.
Well, let's hope it's not a sign of things to come.
Indeed.
Although the weather forecast looks good over the next week or so.
We are in for a treat, yes. Yeah. Definitely get prepared for wintertime. It's been an unfortunate, busy 24 hours here in Quincy, Mayor, with a fatal pedestrian accident last night, fatal fire this morning. And I know, of course, you've been briefed on both of those.
Yes, I did get a call from the police chief last night regarding the female that was killed in a pedestrian accident over in Arlington and Elmwood early last evening. And that is a great reminder to people that with the clocks changing and getting darker earlier now, you know, people still in the habit of just crossing, assuming people will see them, and that just that's not the case. So remind people out there to encourage your friends and neighbors, you know, cross at a light when you can, in the crosswalk, look both ways, make sure this, you know, you're safe before we cut across the street. So certainly we hate to see that happen in our community.
Absolutely. And this morning, an unfortunate incident up in the Downs area.
Yeah, a few blocks from my home, Edwin Street. I got the call from the fire chief about 6 this morning, a 2-alarm fire. And we did have a fatality, as I understand it. It's a mother and daughter living there, and the mother did not get out. Mm. It appears that the fire started in the kitchen area and was fully engulfed by the time the fire department showed up. Yeah. Although they did a masterful job of you know, getting it under control quickly. And the equipment we have now and the amount of manpower we have now makes a huge difference in these fires today. So we're able to knock them down quickly. And we haven't had a fatality in a fire in some time. So we're certainly sad as that affects a family, it affects that whole neighborhood of Edwin Street.
Yeah.
And certainly as a community, it affects us as a whole. So we certainly want to keep that family in our thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, it's a good reminder to make sure your smoke detectors are working properly and you have all the safety measures in place in your kitchens, and certainly make sure the winter and your heating system is up to date as well.
That's right. Yep, good advice.
It is election day, of course, Mayor. And
is it?
Yes, it is.
Finally here.
You may have heard. the Secretary of State predicting a record turnout today, and I would tend to say he's probably right. Have you voted yet?
I have not. I usually get on during the day, say hello to the election workers. I wait till there's been a little activity, like to see how the numbers are going. Mm-hmm. So I will do that later today, probably mid-afternoon.
What do you think about the whole process this year with the mail-in, the early voting, the all affected by the pandemic, obviously? Do you think some of these things should stick around post-pandemic?
Well, I think it's going to be tough to go backwards, in a sense. I think people will expect, although it's interesting because the presidential elections, particularly this year, the interest is usually heightened. That's when you have the biggest turnout. And then it drops to lower in a state in gubernatorial election, then it drops even lower in a local election, particularly if there's no mayor's race. I mean, we've seen that. So, one of the concerns is, you're mailing, 60,000, whatever the number is, voters in a local election. There's a lot of effort, and you got to make sure you get it right with all the lists. There's some serious money spent on that stuff. So I think it's something we'll have to look at. I'm sure after the election, I'll be talking to Nikki Crispo and Joe Newton and the election team downstairs. They've done a phenomenal job. I mean, both in the primary and to date, I haven't gotten one complaint from a person. In fact, to the contrary, people have been really thrilled with the service they receive, the opportunities. I think to some degree people are getting a little bit spoiled. I mean, there's 24 voting locations, and we have the absentee voting, which you could do ahead of time. We had the early voting, and now with the mail voting. Why isn't the turnout 100%? But I do get concerned that we make sure the lists are completely up to date. You know, people move out, people move in. We have about half our city is rental. Obviously, when somebody dies, that name gets stricken right off the list, right in the clerk's office, so you have an up-to-date list on that. But, you know, somebody moves out of the apartment, somebody else moves in, they haven't registered. Does the ballot go to a former name? You know, so there. And I don't want to get into that whole conspiracy thing. I'm just suggesting that, you know, maybe there's no system that's perfect, but we got to make sure that we've got our ducks in a row. And I think certainly we do in this city. And it was proven primary night on how well it was done. And my hat's off to Bill Harris, too. He's the ward counselor, but postmaster in Quincy. And he's been working very closely with the election department. So they've been capturing all the local ballots and shipping them directly to City Hall rather than going into the process facility in Boston and coming back out to the city. So they're helping save a couple of steps so that these ballots are returned in a timely way. So, you know, in a great republic like ours, it depends on, you know, on voter turnout. I'm trying to think what the heck I heard on the radio this morning. Somebody said they're dying to vote. Somebody else said they're dying from the election. They've had enough.
It's
all in perspective.
In addition to pandemic fatigue, I think there is campaign fatigue for sure.
I think there is. Yeah. Although, you know, it's interesting. I think that the early voting, whatever happens in the future, but assuming it stays around with the mail-in voting, the early voting, it really changes dramatically the campaigns.
Yes.
The strategy, where you put your resources, when you put the resources in. And, you know, I've been seeing ads up to the last minute when, you know, how many people left to vote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and certainly someday if I'm a candidate again, you know, I'll be certainly thinking about those things. But, mm-hmm. But you know, people have the opportunity. They should avail themselves of that opportunity. If you don't vote, you have no reason to complain after an election.
There has been some concern about unrest after the election. Do you think that's going to be an issue here in Quincy?
I don't. Yeah. Our department is certainly prepared. They're very professional, and they're certainly prepared and ready to help Boston if they've had some issues. But, you know, most experts are suggesting we're not going to hear tonight. It could be a few days before we see the final results. And, of course, it seems to be in fashion today. If you don't like certain things, you can just go out and burn buildings and throw rocks. And it's I think most cities have learned a lesson from that you can't be a little bit pregnant. You can't have a little bit of violence. You can't. I mean, protests have to be peaceful. As soon as there's any violence, it needs to be shut down. We saw way too much criminal activity during a number of those protests earlier in the year. So peaceful protests all day, that's fine. But this other stuff, it's unbelievable. You see what, and this is mostly in other states. I mean, some had happened in Boston, but you see these folks that had businesses that lost everything, and chalk it up to democracy? I don't think so, you know.
Mayor, the folks of North Quincy High School are now learning remotely because of a Halloween party over the weekends. Were you surprised at that?
Well, I'm disappointed in it. First of all, that's the party that the school system found out about. How many parties were there over the weekend we didn't know about? And this gets tricky. I mean, we ask people to be responsible. You know, the old saying, kids will be kids, boys will be boys. I understand that, and I look back when I was that age. Did I do some stupid things? Probably. So I get that. There's a certain age group, and I know people are tired of the restrictions that we're under and just tired in general of what's going on. And, you know, so that age group is probably more inclined to do something. And unfortunately, when you have that many together in a small enclosed area, most of them weren't wearing masks, you know, it creates issues. So, you know, the health commissioner recommended the superintendent that, because they couldn't identify everybody at the party, that, you know, the whole school would be shut down. I have a little problem with that, honestly, Joe. I mean, I talked to the superintendent and the commissioner about it, and I think we've got to look at things differently going forward. I think we've got to ask people to come forward, stay home themselves, remote, get tested, but to shut the whole hybrid down. There's a lot of kids that struggle with remote, and the hybrid is at least something for them to do a little better with, and, you know, the social aspect of it, seeing other kids and being in the presence of a teacher, I think it's very, very important. I know I've talked about it a million times with you and school committee meetings, but, you know, the other part of this that is very concerning is right now we're seeing addiction rates up. We're seeing mental health issues up. We're seeing social disorders up. All these things are happening, manifesting themselves because of the restrictions. So what is the cost in that regard to public health versus what we're trying to alleviate? And I go back and forth, and I have discussions with parents all the time. I get calls that parents say kids should be in school completely. I get parents that call, I'll never send my kid back as long as there's the virus still out there. I mean, there's a lot of opinions on this, but the data is showing that kids don't get sick. So, you know, I understand they can transmit it, and I understand some folks live with maybe an elderly grandparent. Well, maybe they should make the choice to learn remotely to protect that grandparent, and I think we've got to work even harder to get these kids back in person.
Fully in person.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, if half are still going to do remote on their own choice, then fully person, we should be able to socially distance easy, continue to wear masks, and monitor things closely. And if we've got some issues, we deal with those issues. But I think there's a lot of mental health and social order issues that are we're going to look back at this and say, wow, I really believe that. Well, what is the cost?
Yeah, even in the governor's updated guidelines yesterday, he was emphatic that data is showing that the virus is not spreading in the public school systems.
Right.
So it sounds like he is kind of siding on full in-person learning again as well.
Yeah, he's left that to the community. Yeah. As you know, we have local school committees that set policy for local school districts. Now, there's also the reality side of it that, you know, teachers are obviously concerned, and, you know, a number of teachers would have health issues or maybe live with an elderly parent that may have to teach remote for various reasons. Mm-hmm. And under federal law, Family Leave Act and stuff, that could trip. You know, we got to weigh all those things, because if half the teachers decided not to come back to school, then we've got another problem. Mm-hmm. So there's no easy solution here, yeah. I guess is what I'm saying. I think everyone is a little wary and fatigued from this whole thing. I don't mean the election. Maybe they're that too, but from the virus and all that comes with it. So. Yeah.
Now, what is the policy for the risk assessment map? Because yesterday, as you know, the 2-week daily case average here in Quincy was 8.2, which is above the 8, minimum set by the state to go into the RIC.
Yeah, we're in a little different schedule than what the state's is.
Okay.
And so, you know, they come out periodically. We kind of update ours every day, where theirs is more weekly, and their time frame may be a little bit different than ours.
Okay.
I mean, we've been hovering, as you know.
Yep.
Just yellow, red. We've been back and forth a little bit. Fortunately, we're not going crazy. I mean, there were some cities that were up in the 12, 15 per 100,000, and those numbers are a little bit more scary. But nonetheless, it's a reminder that we've got to continue to pay attention and do the right thing, including the masks. I mean, the governor's a friend. I spoke to the lieutenant governor yesterday, don't agree on everything. You know, I share my thoughts. They ask me my thoughts, but that doesn't mean they have to follow what I have to say either, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I know they're making the right decisions, or the decisions for the right reasons. And the governor is very data-driven. He does listen to the scientists, the medical doctors, and his Department of Public Health. They take it very seriously and try to make the best decisions for the public safety. The health and safety of our citizens. So I know, and I'm a believer that we got to try to stay together in this to get through it. Certainly don't want to be divisive. I am worried about those businesses when we talk about closing them at 9:30. They've been struggling as it is. Wearing a mask all the time, maybe we're in public. I mean, I'm out walking at 8, 9 o'clock at night with not a soul around me.
Mm-hmm.
Do I really need to wear a mask, you know? But most of it is advisory, and it goes to that extent, not to usurp people's freedoms, but we got a public health issue, which we're trying to wrestle it and deal with it. So, again, a lot of different opinions on this, but at the end of the day, it's really, really comes down to the common sense. We know now who's vulnerable with this, and the deaths were very tough in the springtime or in the early summer, but we've had very few since then. It is those people, those folks, and for the most part, with underlying conditions and elderly people that are susceptible. So we got to protect them do the best we can to keep the population safe. And so we need people to continue to keep washing their hands and wearing the mask. And the side benefit of what we're doing should help with the flu season as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the amount of hand washing and mask wearing and all, it's got to be a big deterrent for the spread of the flu as well. So that's a good thing.
Mayor, I appreciate your time as always. And
probably took too much of your time this morning, Joe, but
never,
always a pleasure.
Never too much time. As much time as you need, absolutely. And next time we talk, it'll be, hopefully we'll know the election results.
Well, if you don't know them by next week, we're going to be really in trouble. So. Well, stay well, my friend.
Thank you. You too.
Bye now.
Yeah, bye-bye.